I'm having a goddamn blast on tour with this Big Mouth and a Small Town tour. So I've added some dates and wanted to let you know where I'm headed next. March 14th, I will be in Lakeside, Arizona. And then the 15th and 16th, I'm finally coming to Tucson. So if you're in Tucson, I'm coming to Laughs Comedy Cafe. Get your tickets. We're going to have a good time. My good friend Noah Kopfer will be featuring at those shows. He'll also be with me the following weekend when I come to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dr. Grins, I cannot wait to see you guys again. Those are always some of my favorite shows, and I'm sure this year will be no exception. And then I am headed up to my home state of Alaska for the Alaska Before You Die Fest. Anchorage, you better not fucking sit on these tickets. They're going fast. There's a few left. April 5th, I will be doing shows at the Gumbo House. It's downtown. I'm doing an early and a late show, one night only. It's an intimate venue, so tickets are limited. It's going to be out of control. If you've come to my show at Coots before, you know how fun they are. This venue is so much better for comedy. I can't even explain it. Just get fucking tickets. These shows are going to be wild. And then on the 6th, I'm headed down to Homer, Alaska. I am coming, performing there for the first time. Alice's Champagne Palace. And then on the 7th, I will be in Seward, Alaska. So Anchorage, Homer, Seward, we're having a goddamn good time. I'm going to come kill it all those shows because I'm a fucking Alaskan assassin. Am I sorry I said that? I don't know. Listen, Dayton, Kentucky, 12th of April. If you are in the Cincinnati-ish area, Dayton, Ohio, Dayton, Kentucky, this is your chance to see me at a really cool new venue called the Commonwealth Sanctuary. And then I am headed to Portland, May 3rd. I'm headlining the Rip City Comedy Festival. I will be at McMenamin's Mission Theater. You guys, this is a cool theater. We want it to be packed out because of course I want it to be packed out. But also, like, let's have a goddamn good time in this nice, beautiful theater. So come to that. It's going to be a hell of a time. I can't wait to come back to Portland. And then Wisconsin, I'm headed back your way. But this time I'm coming to Janesville, May 17th and 18th. Green Bay on the 19th. And then what up, Florida? St. Pete, Tampa. I'm coming your way. Tampa, I will be there June 2nd. And St. Pete, they're ahead of that, May 31st. Tampa, I'm at Side Splitters. And if you go to the links in all of my bios or go to their website to get tickets, for a limited time, you can use the code JMS and get $5 off tickets. And wherever you are, I'm trying to get people to buy tickets early instead of waiting to the last minute and making me panic, so that if it is going to sell out, it sells out faster, so that I know that, the club knows that, maybe we can add a second show. It just FYI, that helps every artist that you're a fan of. So if you can ever buy ASAP, go ahead and do that. So that's your incentive to buy early in Tampa. And I'll be adding more dates soon. If you did not hear your town, but you want me to come there, head over to my Instagram, instagram.com/JMS Comedy, or just at JMS Comedy if you're using the app like most of us. Click the link in my bio, join my email list. That lets me know where you guys are so I know what areas want to come see me. So do that. I can't wait to get to more cities. I'm having so much fucking fun on the road. You guys have been amazing. People have been buying merch. These audiences have been out of control good, just electric, laughing, having a blast. And I know all these upcoming shows are going to be no exception. So I will see you there. JMScomedy.com/shows to get your tickets. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. We're going to have a fucking good time either way. So thanks for listening to this little promo. Enjoy this episode. Ta-ta, idiots.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What kind of ignorant shit is that?
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
You idiot, you fool!
Hey, dummy!
This is the Ignorance is Blessed podcast.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Idiots. Oh boy, I'm so excited for this. This is episode 32 in the top 40 countdown, and it's one of my absolute favorite people. You already know him, you love him. It's Bobby Lee. So some context for this. My podcast was brand new when he agreed to record this with me. We were on the road, and I was opening for him, featuring at the Schoenberg Improv. It was a lovely time. If you actually go back and listen to the original episode, there's a tiny chunk at the very beginning before the intro music where we tried to listen through the microphone. We tried to record some precarious sounds that were coming out of a hotel room like a bunch of honestly childish teenagers. We were just walking through the hall and heard it, and I turned on the microphone. But we didn't get it. Alas, it's there if you want to go searching for it. But that is not the point of this. So my podcast was brand new. The Bad Friends podcast that he does with Santino had not even been thought of. And his podcast, Tiger Belly, was maybe like barely 2 years deep. So just back in the time of baby podcasting with Bobby Lee. And it's so funny. We get so silly. I will always be so, so grateful to Bobby Lee for really just taking a noticing of me. That's not the way to say that. But he noticed me. He was the first big comic to really come up and say something to me. And it encouraged me. And it made me keep going. You know, I think I would have probably kept going if he hadn't said it. It's not like other people were like, you suck. Turns out people don't say that if you're decent. But he went out of his way to come up and talk to me when he didn't have to. When I was a very, very new comedian going to the Comedy Store for the first time. He gave me my first road gigs. He's just always been a big champion of me and of upcoming comics. And I love that he does that. And I, you know, it's just a silly fun time. And I love seeing where he's gone. I mean, he was already a fucking star when I interviewed him. And you can hear in my voice, even though I consider him a good friend now. And it felt solid then, but I think I definitely had a nervous, like, oh, I'm on the road with him. I don't want to fuck this up. He's cool. He has a cool podcast. And here I am bumbling around. But we had some good laughs. And he's just as delightful as you probably already know he is if you watch any of his stuff. Ooh, excuse me. This is not a reflection of my excitement for the podcast. I'm just up at all hours of the night recording these. Anyways, I'm shutting the fuck up. This is episode 32 with, you know him, you love him, the incomparable Bobby Lee.
Just started.
Oh, we started.
All right.
Okay. Hi. Welcome hi. To Ignorance is Blessed. It's Bobby Lee as my guest. Hi, Bobby.
Yay. I'm so excited to be on your podcast. It's my favorite one.
Dude, that's a lie.
No, it's not a lie. No, this is my favorite one. It goes this, then WTF, and then Fighter and the Kid.
Stop. Aw, you're too
I'm your
sweet.
Biggest fan. I have all your albums.
All my one albums. He just stole the pile of the one album
I did.
After I was trying to huck it behind him while he was taking photos of the Chicago Improv.
You did a good job this weekend.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you were a fallout, but
thank you.
It was going to be Jade Catapretta, but she fell out.
Take that, Jade. She fell out to
but then
celebrate
I,
her birthday.
I got you... got you. Look at the security over here. They're gonna kick us out over here.
They liked
me. These guys.
The club liked me.
So I didn't even know you had a podcast.
Yeah, I do. It's new. It's what's called Ignorance is Blessed. And what I do is I have guests on of either like certain identities or demographics or like, you know, vegans or whatever. I haven't had a vegan yet, but I totally
so what
know.
Is the topic on this one?
It's about being Asian.
Why?
Because you're an Asian American.
Not really.
Man. Not really. You're yeah. in denial.
So you have Asian questions?
I have like, yeah, that's what I do is I ask like the most surface level. It's like dumb, ignorant questions.
That's
but,
fine.
But you just know, like,
I don't really know much about being Asian, but you
can just tell
ask
you, like,
me the
you're
question.
The only person I've ever opened for or like just doing shows in general where there have been like a large amount of Asian people who come to shows.
Why?
Do you probably don't know that, but like I feel like Asian people don't come to that many comedy shows, but they come for you.
Have you ever been to San Francisco?
Well, no.
Well, then there you go. You don't know where the demographic... I mean, if you go to Seattle or San Francisco
I've been
or
to Seattle.
And there's no Asians
just
at your
feel
shows?
Like I've done shows in Chicago.
Maybe you do
I've
hillbilly.
Never seen...
You may do hillbilly shows.
That ain't true. Yeah, probably. But you know? I just feel like there's, like, extra pride for you. They, like, come out extra.
I went to Toronto once, and there was no Asians, and there's a lot of Asians there. So I don't know. I mean, I don't really... feel like I have an Asian audience, but they do come out. But
well,
I have,
Mexicans
like too.
Yeah, you have.
I mean, a lot of Mexicans and one black and a bunch
that
of white
same
people.
Same black guy who's just flying around the country at every yeah. show. He's like,
no, it depends on where I'm at. Some African Americans.
Yeah.
Show up, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Just like yeah, okay. Do you?
It's already starting uncomfortable, huh?
It's a, that's what it is.
Go ahead.
But just know that it's all on me because I'm dumb.
I know. No, you're not.
I mean,
you need better self-esteem.
No, that's not what this is about, man.
No, but can we just talk about that for a second?
Yeah. Okay.
Do people know how you were abandoned?
Maybe I don't talk about it on my podcast.
No one knows that you were abandoned.
I think my dad might.
I know, but no one listening to your podcast.
I was abandoned, you guys.
Yeah, she was at a Waffle House.
And my dad abandoned me.
When you were 8 years old?
Yeah.
And he just left you there.
He just left.
He left you there.
Yeah. Don't turn this on me,
no,
Bobby.
Just listen. Let me just ask some questions. And then what did you
is
do?
This what
let me ask
do?
You this. What do you do?
Asians are nosy.
When you're 8 Spread and it. Your dad leaves you at a Waffle House. Do you order pancakes and stuff or?
You just sit there and think he's going to come back and then eventually somebody offers you a ride home and you are confused.
Oh no. And then you went home and then what happened?
No one was home. And
your
then,
mom wasn't home?
No, I think she must have been out with like my brother at a soccer thing or something.
Yeah.
Nobody mentioned it. I posted about it. Like, I did a whole blog about it last year on Father's Day.
Yeah.
And my mom, like, sent me, like, a slew of texts and was like, I didn't know that happened. I don't remember that. I must have been here or there. And, I mean, the whole thing was, I also sort of, like, said some maybe negative things about her. And she's like, I didn't mean to do a bad job.
Could it have been that you were eating with your dad at a Waffle House and you just walked home?
No, and that I, the truth is I abandoned my dad.
Yeah,
just
could it be the reverse
the
situation?
I was like,
yeah.
Where is she? Probably not.
That's sad. And then so did you see your dad after that or no?
Yeah, he came back like a couple days later. And then like 6 months later, he like left in the middle of the night. And then the next time I saw him was like 6 months after that, he showed back up to like visit us. And like he had a new
woman,
soon to be wife. Yeah. Which by the way, he brought us, he's like, he picked us up without this woman and then brought me and my brothers to a Denny's. So my dad is just this like weird shitty diner bandit man.
Yeah.
And then like, he's like, this is Marion, my new girlfriend. And
yeah.
Then,
but even when you have like, parents that are supposedly, I used to get beat all the time. I had a dark childhood.
Yeah.
So yeah, I used to get beat by my dad with golf clubs, and my mom used to hit me in the face.
God, is that an Asian thing?
What? Getting beat?
Hitting your kids? Is that popular
I don't know if
it's just an old school
thing.
It's
not a fad.
Well, no, I know it's not a fad.
Or it's not
it's
a
not
cultural
like
thing, but I think that. You know, it happened, and my dad was an alcoholic, and, you know, I used to beat my brother and I and punch my mom and crazy stuff, but this is growing up, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, no, it's, well, the funny thing is, too, for me, and I don't know if you experienced this, was that, like, I didn't really think anything of it. I was just like, that was just, like, life, and then you repeat it to someone who hasn't experienced that, and they're like, oh, my God, what, you must be so fucked up, and you're like, I don't think so.
But those people, they're a little weird, aren't they?
Well, yeah.
They don't have crazy stories.
No, it's like, yeah, had a good childhood, but you don't have stories.
Yeah, they don't have stories.
You have love in your heart, but you have stories?
Because I went to rehab when I was 15.
What?
Yeah, so already my life was like, there's a lot of stories happening here.
You are already like just full, what, drinking drugs?
Yeah, meth and drinking and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, and then
you're like the joke that people make. They're like, as long as we don't see like a homeless Asian guy. <It's> like
yeah. Well, that's why when you say you have a slew of Asian questions, to me it's like I didn't have an Asian life.
An Asian life. But
I mean, I had Asian parents that ate Asian food. And they sounded Asian, and
pretty much all it takes.
And then you watch TV, and you go, "Oh, there's us doing karate," or like that's us. You know what I mean? Oh my God, we're lawyers and TV shows and stuff.
Sat around watching karate videos.
I mean, that's all you would see us in, or like we
watch a lot of like.
We wore kimonos. You imagine the 70s when you turned the TV on?
And like Asians in TV.
Yeah, there
then.
Wasn't
like
there wasn't like
the Asian-iest Asian.
We didn't
like
have Stephen Yoon yet from Walking Dead. We
was
had.
There
nobody.
Was there Korean dramas on TV?
No.
No? So it's just like every once in a while you saw like George Takei and then you're like.
He was the. No, I mean, think of it this way.
That was the only
him,
Asian.
There was a guy on Barney Miller who was also Asian.
Yeah.
We had Pat Morita that did like a year on Happy Days. And then, I mean, you had Connie Chung, but that was in the 80s. She was a newscaster or whatever. So.
Yeah.
We didn't really have much.
Did you notice that when you were a kid?
Were
you
like,
oh, there's. Because you grew up, where, San Diego? Or
yeah, I lived in San Diego, and then I lived in Minnesota for about a decade.
How's
as a kid. And then,
sorry, go ahead.
That's where I was molested.
Minnesota or San Diego? It's really weird for you to say that's where I was molested, and then basically have a blowjob to your vape in front of you. Like
I was molested in Minnesota.
Yeah? Was it by a Viking?
It was by a guy with Down syndrome.
Oh. He did his best, you know?
We just what?
You're not the only person I've heard that's been molested by a mentally challenged person.
Yeah.
It makes me sad for you, but also that person was probably molested. And it's like this, like they like don't know that they're doing.
Yeah, he was really good, though.
Yeah? Did you come?
Yeah, I came and everything.
Was there big Asian populations in San Diego or Minnesota?
No, I mean, not where I grew up. I there was maybe five in my class in high school. And then in Minnesota, none.
None? So no. It was, like, noticeable. You were like, oh, I'm...
Yeah, I mean, you're...
Did you, think about it? I don't know.
There's other things. It's survival in general. Like, it's like, I don't know, friends. Who am I going to be friends with? And but I was always kind of a degenerate, you know?
Yeah? When did you first start getting, like, really into trouble?
Young. I mean, like...
Little.
I always got all, like, D's and C's on my report card.
Yeah.
And that in itself, with, like, traditional Korean parents was...
unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
Did you play violin or piano?
I played some piano, but, like, I used to have this piano teacher that would, like, if you fucked up on a note, she would slam the lid of the piano on your fingers.
How does she expect people to get better lady. With the broke... Oh, that's so... I'm German, the most German thing I've ever heard.
That's and then my parents thought, yeah, that's who...
That's what he needs.
He needs, yeah, but it's like, no, I mean, I... You know, some kids, they go through that, and they, you know, they do what their parents say, and they comply or whatever.
And they come out, hypothetically, a well-rounded person.
Yeah, some like most of them, like all my cousins, they all went to Ivy League schools, they all got straight A's, they all had regular jobs.
But are they happy?
But my brother and I were treated like that, and we...
Rebelled.
And I don't know why.
You know? Yeah, well, probably just made your parents more angry, too. Like,
well, I mean, by the time I was 17, I was in three rehabs.
So they're like... Ugh.
So they're like, he's broken.
And they're just
always
like,
it was almost as if they did something wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, people take that personally sometimes. Yeah. I think that's... I'm not going to regurgitate information I'm learning from a childhood emotional neglect book. But, yeah, no, it's weird how parents can, like, take that as, like, a personal reflection. Where it's, like, arguably, yeah, something went wrong. But also, like, sometimes kids are just like that, and it's, like, I don't know.
I don't know. I think just the mixing of the genes with my mom and my dad just made two fucked up Korean kids.
Yeah, you think that there's, like, maybe a... What's that called? Like a recessive gene that if it combines with something else, it makes you like a rebel?
I don't know about that, but...
it's interesting that you and your brother.
Well, my brother was good. My brother was a Christian. And so like he was, but like psychotically, like he would like take...
Or like die hard.
Like pages from the Bible and like paste it on his wall.
Oh, like that's so creepy.
Like Kevin Spacey in like Seven.
Oh.
Like, you know, like the neon cross sign.
Yeah.
He was like, he would outline things. And then his senior year, he just started smoking pot for some reason.
Oh, wow.
And then that's when he went to college is when he became crazy.
Is he younger than you?
Yeah.
So he took a little bit longer to come out of his shell, but then.
Yeah, but then he would, because I got sober when I was 17, so. When he started going crazy, I was already sober.
Were you completely sober from 17 on?
No, I was sober from 17 to 29.
When did you get into comedy?
When I was 23.
Oh, man.
So, and then my brother lived in my... I had an apartment in Silver Lake.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the late 90s.
Okay.
And he moved into my closet. He did.
That's such a, like, L.A. story.
And then he really... I've gotten up jobs before.
Yeah.
And he gets fired.
Has he burned some bridges?
No, I mean, I got him a job at the Improv in Phoenix, and he got fired after a week.
Really?
For, like, yelling at a waitress. And then he got a job at Amoeba Records in L.A.
Wow.
And then he got fired for sexual harassment. And then I got him a job at Sushi Dan's on Sunset.
Oh, no. He got fired from a sushi restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. And he told the sushi chef to go fuck himself after like Jesus. 2 days. So my brother can't really get a job.
So he's a little authority angry.
He's hilarious.
Oh, I'm
you
sure.
You don't know Steven?
I met him a long time ago, just like once very briefly. Very funny.
Steven's the best.
That's amazing.
So now...
Do you think you influenced him?
No, we just have crazy parents that made crazy kids.
Yeah?
But my brother now is in a band and he's doing good.
Yeah, what kind of music?
I don't know really.
Violin?
No, why do you say that?
I don't know.
It's a rock band.
Yeah, it'd be cool if there's a violin in a rock band, wouldn't
it? I know,
it?
But he's a singer.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. I love
it. It's got Money Mark in it. He's from, he wrote like the Beastie Boy albums. And yeah, he's a guitarist. And David Cho, the artist, is a drummer.
David Cho?
Yeah, you know David Cho?
Is he also Korean?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. It's like, you know his story, right?
No.
my friend David was a street artist.
Oh,
and
wait.
And then he worked for Vice, too, for a long time.
Okay.
But he also, Mark Zuckerberg asked him to paint, like, the corporate offices of Facebook.
Oh.
And he got stock from that.
Really?
Yeah, and the stock was worth $250 million.
Oh, so he's, like, set.
He's set for life, yeah.
So he's just like, let me do the thing I'm passionate about and not
so
be
then
worried.
He started a band, and he asked my brother to be the lead singer.
That's amazing.
But my brother's really talented in that way. But he has a job.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
He found a thing.
Yeah.
Why
is your boy bare feet?
Because I'm a creep.
Mm.
I'm a
Why
hippie.
You have such low self-esteem? What happened to you?
A lot. I don't know.
Tell
it's
me.
It's what didn't happen, you know? Nobody acknowledged me.
They didn't?
No, I raised myself. And I had a mom who was mentally ill, so she sometimes wasn't very nice to me.
But it's amazing that you didn't become like Eileen Wuornos.
Yeah, I was her for Halloween, though, because I was like, I get it, you know?
Yeah, you get killing people and stuff?
I mean, no. But sometimes I teeter on, like, am I going to, like, slip into schizophrenia or, like, dissociative identity disorder to check out? I don't know. But I think
You think you have that capability?
I don't know. They say that happens when you're, like, trying to shut out trauma. I think I, like, dive into my trauma too much for that to happen.
Yeah.
Is that
you
I,
have
like,
crazy white eyes. That's what it is.
Crazy white eyes?
White.
Oh, yeah.
I look in your eyes, I go, is she okay?
It's just, I'm not.
You're not okay?
Never.
Oh.
But I will be.
Have you ever physically assaulted anybody?
Yeah.
You have? Why?
Yeah, because people are mean. Have I physically assaulted someone, or have I been physically assaulted? I've defended myself in a fight, but I've never. Once I like pulled a girl's hair, but like.
Yeah.
And once a kid told me that girls couldn't play soccer, so I punched him in the face. But that was like third grade, you know?
That was third grade, yeah. But as an adult, you've never been in a physical altercation?
No, I don't think so. No, once, I mean, I had an abusive boyfriend that I, like, locked myself in the bathroom running away from, but that was...
That was it?
Not really a physical assault. It was just me hiding and crying.
You're also a heartbreaker.
Huh?
You're a heartbreaker.
I'm not a heartbreaker.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
What happened to what's-his-name?
With all the what's-his-names?
No, that guy.
Yeah, that guy?
Yeah, why can't you name his name?
Which guy?
You know who I'm talking about.
Why can't you name his name?
I forgot for a second.
You don't remember who... You don't know who you're talking about. I have good intentions in relationships, and then what I've done in the past
Brendan.
Is that I have Brenton. He's amazing. It just didn't work out.
Yeah, but you broke his heart, Brenton.
I didn't mean to. I didn't go
but
like.
But you did.
But I wasn't like, "Fuck you, I'm leaving." It was just like.
How did you break up with him?
I said I can't do this anymore.
Why?
Because what are we? Why is this turning into therapy for me?
It's not therapy. I'm asking you a question.
No, I because here's what I realized: I have a pattern in relationships. That like and part of it's like relationships run their course and you know they just don't all last forever, but also like I realize that I hit a point in relationships where I realize that person cares about me and I care for them, and then I shut down. Because
is that every relationship?
It's emotionally safer to
every
just
relationship
shut down.
You're like that.
Yeah, I think so far, but I have also done a lot of like I'm in a relationship now and I've done a lot of work on my own, and I feel very like it sounds so corny, but this is the I feel very different about this relationship. And I've never said that about other relationships. I've just been like, well, we'll see.
Okay. How long has it been in this new one?
Not long. Like 3 months.
Yeah, it's not. You're going to break his heart.
No, I'm not. I feel... You know what?
You're going to break his heart.
You know what's different about this? Is
what?
That I feel... it's calm. Like, the other, like, quote, love that I've experienced in other relationships was this, like, high intensity, like, anxious, like a roller coaster of, like, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And, like... The person I'm with now, I just like, we just had a moment where we connected and it's just been like relaxed. Like I'm not like worried about it.
Right.
So, you know, what'll probably happen is that he'll break my heart. But let's make enough about me. Let's talk about
no,
Asia.
But I know I understand it's about me. I understand it's about me, but I need to ask questions about you before I get to me.
Yeah.
Or I just have a couple more. But are you still friends with Brenton?
Yeah, we're friends.
Yeah.
We're cordial.
He was sad for like a year though, huh?
Was he? I think he was sad for a little while.
No, for a while. No, I could say he was destroyed.
Shut up. He had a girlfriend within like seven or 8 months later.
Yeah, but he was still destroyed. It was really sad to look at.
I mean...
You crushed him.
He also wasn't very emotionally open, so...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know much about the... That's why. I don't know much about the relationship, so you can't even fucking even listen to me right now.
Yeah, I know. You're just saying things.
I know.
Because you... Are mean.
You think I'm mean?
No.
Yeah.
Stop
you think I'm mean.
Tonguing your vape in front of me. It's creepy.
So you're in a new relationship. Everything's fine.
Everything.
You're getting funny on stage.
I think I've gotten better.
You're getting good on stage, you know. And
I
then
did a good
you
job.
And Dana Moon are good.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
Dana Moon's good.
I think there was a falling out, but I'm not going to get, I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
No,
I will get to the bottom of it.
There's no fallout.
Don't look at your fucking phone with your fucking stupid Asian questions. Ask me an Asian question.
It just, the phone just says bing, bong, bing, bing.
Yeah, no, give me an Asian question.
No, how often, I feel like people know you now, but like, have you experienced like in your life a lot of people calling you the wrong Asian? Like being like, you're Japanese, right?
I think in the 80s and a little bit of the 90s, yeah. But as soon as the internet hit, I think that you find
people
less
learn
of that. Yeah. I mean, right now, I mean, it's like, what is a white dude going to say to me that's going to break my heart?
Ugh, white dudes.
I mean, they even if like, I mean, one time I was dating this girl, Sarah, and I was in Hawaii.
Ooh.
And Sarah was a tall, she's almost 5'10", 5'11", blonde girl.
Dang.
And I was holding hands with her on the beach.
Oh, no.
And these four white guys walked past me, like they're like from Ohio or something.
Bros.
And they say out loud, that guy paid for her. Like they couldn't believe. And then even with my girlfriend now, like I was in Arizona once, I was walking by Bank of America. And there was a guy on his ATM. And he saw my girlfriend, and he looked at me, and he was visibly angry.
Yeah?
Yeah. But it's because some white dudes live in the past.
Or they think.
Right, that they should conquer all pussy.
Ugh.
But like me, and
white
the ethnics
the
that I know, we conquer too.
Yeah. Well,
we conquer now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You also
and we're
like
never going to allow them to dictate how we feel about ourselves or what we do. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. They're so powerful.
Yeah.
Do you think
I will no longer allow it.
You also get like super hot chicks.
Yeah, that's another thing is that I'm a fat, ugly, old Asian guy.
I didn't
who's a
say
little greasy,
that.
But still, I don't
a
let
little.
People. That's funny. You can make fun of me. That's fine.
You just
but
start
I don't
me.
Allow people like you.
What do you mean?
I don't
people
allow
like
people
me?
Like you, all right, dictate how I should fucking live my life. Okay.
Right. You date all those hot girls.
It doesn't even
or
matter, just dude.
Just
check it out, dude. Check it out, lady. All right, check it out, lady. I just do what I do, and that's it. Okay?
This is so Asian guy trying to be tough.
Or,
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
You know what? You probably didn't even know. You grew up in Alaska, right?
Yeah.
I bet you didn't have one Eskimo friend.
Yeah, I did.
No,
and it frustrates me to no end when people go like, actually, it's Inuit, because those are two different things. When people go like, don't say Eskimo, it's rude. It's like, no, that's a thing.
Wait, there's a difference between Inuit and Eskimo?
Yeah, they're different tribes.
Yeah, but they're both the same.
Yeah, okay.
They're
thanks,
brown
Chinese
snow people.
Guy.
They're brown snow people.
I don't understand how when people say yellow, I don't understand that.
Why?
Because I don't think Asian people look yellow. But I was like, you're a yellow Eastern.
Yeah, I'm. There's a yellow hue a little bit.
I think maybe I
yeah,
just
you
grew
do
up
too,
with
though.
An alcoholic mother. So I was like, they just all look the
oh,
same as my mom.
All right.
The jaundice. Yeah. She fits in Asia because she's just jaundiced.
I can't.
I really don't think that's a. That's. I guess I don't see color.
When you were in Korea, did you feel good about it?
What about being in Korea?
Yeah, did you have fun?
I had fun. It was cool. I like experiencing new things. I think travel is important. It broadens people's horizons. And well, I mean, like literally, but also like
yeah.
I think it's harder to remain ignorant if you go new places.
Yeah.
I think it's important. I think if a lot of people just got out of their bumfuck trailer park towns and like saw other people and saw that this person that looks different than them is also a human and normal, they'd feel less like scared.
Yeah, it's like that thing like, you know, when Trump was saying like, no Muslims are allowed, you know, it's like, oh, that's fine and great and dandy, but I know so many Muslim dudes
yeah, like,
and girls and they're all like so cool and stuff. It's like, I can't, like, I just know them,
yeah.
You know, and it's like if you talk to a lot of these people that believe in that, they don't know
they've
anybody.
They've never met anyone.
They've never met anybody. And they don't know what they're like. And they live in these small towns. And let me say something else, all right? If a Republican shows me that electoral map again, where all the red in the middle, right? And the little tiny blues on the sides, like, we rule the country because look at the red, right?
It's like you're all
there's nothing
idiots.
In that red. It's all desert.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's like farms.
California has the sixth biggest economy in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know
that. All right? Montana does not.
What?
Nothing against Montana. I love Montana. I love what they're all about.
But it's
I'm
like,
just saying,
when you go, it's just East Coast. It's like, yeah, that's where all the people are, though.
Yeah. It's like, you know, they just put all the votes in one pot, and let's just see what happens.
Yeah. No, I mean.
But they're not going to do it that way.
I've hated the Electoral College forever.
I don't even get it till this day. If people try to explain it to me, I don't even understand.
I remember learning about it in like fifth or sixth grade and being like, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, that's a scam, and this isn't a democracy. And then people be like, it's not. It's a republic. Like, they're like, don't you know it's a republic? And it's like, yeah, well, it sucks.
Yeah. Give me another Asian question that you have.
In these Asian questions. Okay, so you said that you said when you were growing up you saw like you know, not that many Asians on TV. When you first started getting into Hollywood and acting, did you feel like there weren't like a lot of like parts for you? Or,
well, for me, I didn't feel it really, but then again, what do I know? I started comedy in 95.
Okay.
And then 2001, I did Jay Leno.
Okay.
So in 6 years, I did The Tonight Show. And then that's when I got Mad TV 2.
Okay.
So after about 5 or 6 years of doing comedy, I started making a living, you know?
Yeah. So you sort of surpassed that.
It's not surpass. It's just that
Well, you missed the part of like, not missed, but like you got to a point quick enough where it wasn't like as much like, I don't know, grinding out on auditions and stuff, maybe?
I mean, when I first got on Mad TV, the main question was, what do we do with him? That was the main thing. It's like, what do we do with him? And so the first couple of years of Mad, I wasn't on it that much. I mean, they kept me around contractually.
Yeah.
And I was there, but I wasn't on a lot.
Did you feel like there were parts like you could have done, but for some reason they couldn't see you in them because you're Asian?
Still to this day, there were things that I know that I could have done that I wasn't able to do.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I stayed on that show for 8 years, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I survived it.
Yeah, I survived.
But, you know, people don't understand how difficult it was because I was like and we had Stephen Park who was on In Living Color, but he did like a couple of years, but I didn't. 8 years on an American sketch show, and it was like, whatever, it was hard, but I did it, and, you know, now I'm doing other things, you know?
You're doing so many other things.
I barely, but, you know.
I feel like that's
good. Why do you keep looking at the notes? It's really unprofessional.
No one can see me looking at the notes,
I understand
Bobby.
That, but you know what? Turn the phone away. I want you to grow.
No, because...
No, I'll tell you why.
No, I know.
You're not going to look at that again. Because we're gonna learn how to do it.
No, this podcast has a format, Bobby. It's not just chitter chatter, interesting things. This isn't an interesting podcast.
Okay, what is it
this
again?
Is a
you have a structure
podcast
then.
Where I ask racist questions.
Oh, you
people.
Do. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm kidding. No, I.
go ahead.
I mean, I
don't
sort
be
of
lost.
Am not. Wait, so
fine.
You never like experience like going to an audition? You're just like standing in a room full of other Asian guys, and they're like,
I did in the
be?
Beginning. In the beginning, was like.
When did Ken Jeong show up?
A couple years after me, but I used to go to auditions where people were wearing like kung fu outfits and ninja suits.
God.
And I'd go in and they go, "You don't know martial arts?" I go, "No." And they're like, "Well, what are you doing here?" And
you're like, "I don't know. You
go,
brought
my agent,
me here."
My agent submitted me because they didn't know. But that was it.
So it's like, yeah, Asians were only getting like kung fu ninja parts.
Oh yeah. So I just kind of basically told I had a Korean agent. I still have him.
You do?
He's my commercial agent.
Oh, is he looking for white women to be clients? I'm kidding.
I told him, I go, dude, just submit me for like white commercials.
Good for you.
And he goes, he tried, the first one he tried was a Maxwell House commercial. And this is the premise. A white man, they said, the description was 40 to 50 years old. And Brad Pitt-ish, like chiseled, right, but like a beard.
This is so funny.
And he walks outside a log cabin, and he drinks his Maxwell House coffee on this log cabin with
That's
an axe.
It. You're just there
right?
being beautiful.
So now I show up to the audition, and there's like 80 to 100 white dudes.
Hot white dudes.
Yeah, wearing like lumberjack. And
you're in a ninja outfit.
No, I was just regular dressed. And I went in, and I got it.
You got it?
Yep.
Because they're like, something about this guy's different.
No, I just don't let that. Did why you? Would I let that?
Let's, of course.
Because the thing is that if it's a non-speaking part, which is what it was, it's just like a guy. There's no dialogue.
It doesn't need to be, yeah.
So in those auditions, to break it up, they don't just go walk around. They ask you questions.
Yeah.
How was Halloween? Any audition where they're going to ask me a question, I'm going to get it.
Because you're interesting.
No, because I'm going to be funny.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make everyone laugh.
Yeah.
And so, and then I booked a lot of ones like that where it was just like all white or whatever.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I heard that they did that with Whoopi Goldberg in, the, in one of her movies. It was supposed to be like a white man. And then
yeah, what happens is this, is that a lot of times
they can't
when they
see
the monotony, when they see the monotony of just white guy, white guy, white guy, and then another guy, especially in the late 90s when this happened, like when I did commercials, there was like no, there was six Asian guys.
Yeah.
And then, and half of them didn't even speak English. Right? So it's like I already can beat half of them out. And also I'm a comedian. So anything that's funny,
it's gonna
I'm gonna
stick
have
out.
A shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I just feel like after a day of looking at the same people, just seeing someone who looks different is like refreshing because you're like, oh, okay, I'm awake.
Also, I tell young guys, I go, you know, as a comedian, you know what your muscles are.
Yeah.
Right? Your strengths.
Yeah.
Okay? Me, I'm not political. You know, I'm not that observational.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, facial expressions, mugging,
yeah,
old school techniques like that, I know what kind of mugs gets laughs and not.
Yeah.
So it's like, if it's a commercial where a guy's running down the street, you're on a fucking park bench,
yeah,
right? And you have to, a guy runs past you naked. And then they go, just do an expression, right?
Oh, you're going to nail
you, it. They know, I just know that I know what I can do in that situation. And I know that what I can do is strong.
Yeah.
And I own up to those things. But it's like, that's why when I see comics go, yeah, I had a callback for this commercial, but this other guy got it. I go, you could have got it, but you just don't know your strengths.
Oh, wow.
I believe that any comedian that's a real good comedian can get anything.
Really? I can't wait till I go on an audition.
You don't want that life.
I want that money, though.
I know, but you don't want the life. And that's the thing why I'm doing this podcast, because I want to confront you about it. Okay?
Why?
Why don't you need bigger dreams?
Why can't I just aspire to make people happy with my comedy?
Because it's about visualization.
Yeah? What do I need to visualize?
Well, you put the, for me, I know what I want. That's the number one thing.
I think it's
and well, I think that you know, I'm performing in front of people and making them happy is a little vague of a dream, and I think it's low.
Yeah.
Right.
So I need to.
You
got to
go higher. Like visualize like what kind of house you want to live in. Visualize what your life is going to be like, or what you want your life to be like. But if you're like a guy, you're a girl with a voice and you're very talented and you're brave on stage,
I think
that if you had a dream and you visualized it, I don't believe in manifestation.
Well, no, but it's like but it gives you something to work towards.
Exactly.
It's in your head.
That's what it is.
Well, I mean, anything I visualize, though, is like all stand-up based. So
yeah.
So
you never had a dream of like being on a, in a movie?
I did. But then the more I do stand up, the more I'm like,
but
is it a
defense mechanism? Because a lot of guys go like this,
like a fear of rejection.
Yeah, I don't want to do movies because I just don't want to do them. But
no.
Deep down inside, they don't think they can.
No, I don't think so. I mean, like when I first got into stand up, it's because I wanted to be on SNL and I didn't know how to do that. But then the minute I like got my first laugh on stage, I just was like, this feels right.
Mm-hmm.
So. I mean, I feel like if I wanted to do movies, the weird thing is that like I don't know if I'd want to do comedy movies. I'd want to be like a batshit crazy person.
Yeah, there you go. Do that.
How do I do that?
Take acting classes.
Classes? What would you recommend if you're going to recommend an acting class?
I would take some sort of Meisner technique class or some sort of technique class just to get deeper involved in it. But,
fine.
Why?
No, I'm just
then
like.
Just do stand-up then.
No, I want to do more. But anything I want to do outside of stand-up is with the goal of being able to make it easier for me to do stand-up. Does that make sense?
The reason why I do, I go on auditions and stuff, and it's the hope that, you know, I'll do a project that's going to get on TV or whatever, and then it helps, all of it helps.
Yeah.
It's like my intro when people bring me out. He was in Harold and Kumar, he was in Diet Dictator, he was in Mad TV, he's done this, that, right? Curb Your Enthusiasm, whatever. Is it all those things that you do are just so that people can come out to watch you perform?
I guess I just need a clearer goal of those
things. A lot of people don't like this. He's just done nothing.
Which is dumb because it's like, well, just you came to a comedy show, let me be funny, but you're
no,
right.
No, it's like this. I'd rather see a band. I'm okay, let me. It's like there's so many shitty bands out there.
Do you want to know that they've opened for someone because it helps their reputation?
No.
Or whatever.
Think of all the shitty... There's a lot of great garage bands, but there's mostly shitty ones.
Yeah.
Like just amateur bands.
Same.
Okay?
Yeah.
And what are you going to go watch? 300 amateur bands to find one good one? Or when you hear this band that's new got signed to 4AD or they got signed to like, Sub Pop.
Yeah.
Right?
Then so
you
that
go, excites,
yeah.
Somebody vetted them, so they must be good enough, right? Because I like a lot of bands from 4AD
and
Sub Pop, right?
Yeah.
Then you go, I'll listen to it.
Yeah, you're right.
But that's only because they got signed, right? It's like, the reason why there's agents is so that casting directors and producers don't have to see 10,000 people.
So they have someone that vetted them.
No, you go to an agent and go, instead of seeing 10,000 people, you have 15 good ones.
Yeah, of course.
Right? That's why that's all in play. So it's like,
I think
why would you not, if you were on The Tonight Show, you did Jimmy Fallon.
I would love that.
And then you were like reoccurring on, some TV show. Then people go, oh, she must be good.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, I want to do like The Tonight Show and stuff like that. Like,
I'm 100% right.
Yeah, I know that you're right.
And you're 100% wrong.
Okay, that's not true.
I think you are in this.
You think I'm not saying that I'm right. So I can't be.
Yeah, but why are you
wrong.
Being argumentative about it?
I'm just trying to figure things out, Bobby.
How long have you been doing stand up?
Like 6.5 years.
I'm telling you right now, Jessica, right?
Shut up. So stupid.
Jessica, right?
No.
Michelle Singleton says?
Yeah, Michelle Singleton.
Yeah. Like when I was with Kyle, maybe Billy Bonnell, some other young guys that opened for me, and I ask Sandy Danto.
Oh.
I ask who's a girl that I can bring on the road, and everyone said Jessica Michelle Singleton.
Really?
Yeah, and I go, oh yeah, but if that didn't happen, I would never bring you on the road just because I know you.
Yeah, no.
You had to have references, right?
Yeah.
Well, then
I have those references. I mean, no, here's the thing. I guess it's like hard for me to verbalize. I don't know. Like, I would like to do any type of acting just with the goal of doing more stand-up.
Right.
I feel like the fact that I'm not clear about this is probably why I still don't have representation. Because I'm like, I don't know. I always like to make people laugh.
You don't know what it's like when people go, oh, my God, I saw you in this.
I do. And I go, that's not me.
I know. But what I'm saying, for real, though, if that happened.
Yeah.
It would help your confidence out.
Would it?
Yeah. And you would feel more like a star.
I think I have identity issues, which makes me uncomfortable with the idea of being a star.
I think that's what it is. That's why I asked you about your daddy issues and you being abandoned and all that stuff. That's the stuff that you should work that stuff out.
I am. I'm currently working it out. I listen to a lot of audiobooks, and I'm going to go to sliding scale therapy because comedy doesn't pay that well. Buy my album, you guys. do Asians go to therapy?
Why would you ask that? We're humans.
Just to make you get angry.
You want me to get me? You want me, you like it when I get angry?
No.
Yeah, I'll get
I'm
angry.
Afraid.
Are you afraid of me?
No.
Oh.
Not you per se. I'm just afraid of everything in general.
Oh yeah.
Huge. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I I'm in AA, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done a lot of therapy.
I just feel like there's things like culturally that like therapy is like okay for some families, and then some people look
American,
at it as like a
though.
Stigma. I know.
You do?
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, you have to understand that just hear me out. I grew up in Minnesota and then San Diego. And I lived in San Diego pretty much all my life.
Yeah.
And I've had I grew up with white people.
Yeah. How right? many people do to you what I just did where I was like, what
you're the
Asian
first in years.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Just so you know, that's just how the podcast is supposed to be. It's not
I understand
being
that.
A total
I like
jackass.
It. No, I'm not going to. Keep asking stuff like that.
Yeah. Have
give me
you
another give me another awkward Asian question.
Are Asians racist?
We're probably the most racist people in the world.
Is it more against other types of Asians or against non-Asians?
Yeah.
Or both?
Against probably more other Asians.
What upsets your parents more, the fact that you went to comedy or that you date white people?
They don't care about the white people.
Yeah.
Because my dad thought I was gay.
I feel like that's a big advantage for men in any family where like normally race would be an issue, if their parents think they're gay, they're just so thankful. I dated an Indian guy once that like when his parents finally found out he was dating me, his mom's like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
We thought you were gay.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, what a weird relief.
Yeah. I don't think my parents have never had, because you know, it's funny, you school your parents, right? Like my brother and I, you know, when they were, my parents were younger and they were young parents.
Yeah.
Obviously they had their own ideas about
parenting
the world
and
the parenting and life. But they had my brother, two crazy kids who are very liberal and open.
Yeah. So you're
teaching. Never had any kind of religion in our lives or whatever. So wow. It's like, and I've always had a tendency of just being an open person, you know? Like, just, oh, yeah, he's a gay guy. Who cares?
Yeah.
Black guy, who cares? Whatever, you know? And so, like, when, like, I know some Asian parents that voted for, like, McCain when McCain ran against Obama.
And that was because?
But it's because of, but, like, my parents voted for Obama.
Yeah, you think you helped them?
I just said you're not voting for anybody else but them.
So you threatened your parents.
So they did it. No, yeah, but you conditioned them.
You conditioned them. You threatened them.
Well, I have a belief. I have a belief, and I have a belief, and I believe, and I relay that information to my parents, and it's like,
and they hear it, yeah,
and they go, oh, that makes sense, and then you change them over the years.
Oh, my mom just goes, let's not talk about politics, and she keeps sharing Trump memes.
She loves Trump.
I don't know if she loves him. She's like, you know, if it was between him and Bernie, I wouldn't vote for Trump, but I just can't. She was one of those women who was like, I just can't vote for Hillary, which was sad.
A lot of people were like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot. And it's really just, I don't understand.
Did your parents vote for Hillary?
Yeah, I don't understand what that whole thing is about. I don't know people generally that think that way, and I know two comics, I'm not going to name who they are, who voted for him.
Really? Are they really rich?
They're big comics.
So they it was money, I bet.
Maybe,
or
but
just terrible racists.
I mean, it's like, for me, having Trump is going to probably benefit me because I make pretty good money.
Yeah, and you get a tax break, but like, you think of people, you think of the bigger picture.
It's not that, it's just that I, you know, because I have Muslim friends, because I know that the terrorists in 9/11 were all funded by Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And not the seven countries that, you know,
that
Trump is banning. You know what I mean?
That he doesn't,
it's like,
do business in.
I know that these terrorists are extremist groups.
Yes.
Right? And that's not the mentality of regular Muslims. And, you know, I believe in gay rights. I believe that gay people are being, that are born that way. I believe in women's rights.
Yeah.
I believe in people's rights and people's freedoms in that way.
Yeah.
And so I can never be a conservative because I don't believe in trickle-down economics, because I believe that rich people hoard the money.
Yeah, and it doesn't help anybody.
It doesn't help anybody. So I'm generally always be a liberal guy because I don't know anything else, you know?
Yeah. Well, it also just like, I mean, it makes sense, but there's some people who live in whatever reality they live in, that they grew up in, that for some reason the other thing makes sense, whether it's
fear. But it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, there's never an argument to me where I go, oh, I see it your way. I just don't see it their way.
I think that with conservatives, and also, I think I tweeted something about this, but like, I think there's something to be said about the emphasis on materialism and money in American culture, where it's like, part of status is having money or like appearing to have money, and there's people who are so obsessed with that they would rather be thought a racist than risk having people know that they're poor, so that it's like they feel like, oh, people vote for the idea that they have of themselves. I think with conservatives, it's like these poor people voting against their own interests, but they want to be like, I don't need help from the government.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's also ignorance.
But it's also a lot of them, like, I was on Twitter today, a lot of Christian people are like Trump fans. It's like, he said out loud that as a celebrity, it's all right to grab women's pussies. I don't understand how
anyone with a woman in their life can be okay voting for someone.
I don't understand it, but, you know, they do what they do, and I'll never understand it.
Well, and there's still men who see women as like property. And
well,
like
I view that to be true for me, my life.
Shut the fuck up.
Fuck you, man.
How? Wait, were your parents born in America too? How far? What generation?
They're Egyptian. Yes, they were born in Korea.
That's. I asked if they were born in America. And you
no, didn't. They have accents. You see my act?
Yeah, I don't know, but it could be an act.
No, I don't lie in my act. I don't lie in my act.
So when did they, do you know when they came over?
Yes, they're my parents. What? The late 60s.
I don't know everything about
my
parents.
The late 60s.
Late 60s.
Yeah.
Do you?
I feel bad for you because you don't know much about your parents.
Yeah. See, I'm learning about other people's parents to cope.
Yeah. My parents were, my parents met here.
Yeah.
They met in Los Angeles and my mom didn't like my dad, so she moved.
Away.
He was stalking her.
And that was okay back then, by the way. Isn't
yeah.
that
well,
weird?
Well, I mean, it's, yeah, but it's also, they're like midget Koreans, so who else are they going to date?
So then my dad, a midget Korean woman could date a very powerful Jewish man.
Maybe. But then my mom moved to Wisconsin, and then my dad followed her there.
That's love. If someone's going to go to Wisconsin
yeah.
for you.
And he came to
places.
The door with a steak.
A steak?
Yeah, because I bought you a steak. And she goes, all right, I'll give you another shot. And then
it's a man of my dreams.
They,
a steak?
They got
flowers.
Married, had me, and then my dad punched my mom's tooth out.
Why?
When I was
because you were such a
eight
bad
or nine
kid,
years
he blamed
old. No,
you?
My dad was violent.
Oh, was he? He was just always like that.
He was a violent man, and I just remember being running from him in horror
all the time.
Yeah, I didn't really. It wasn't one of those things like dad's home.
It was like a tense, like oh no, dad's home.
Yeah, at times he would be like, I love you and whatnot. And as kids, he was fine. But it was just, you know, toward, you know, you turn 11, you know what I mean?
Preteen adolescent.
Yeah, and it was, he was, but then when I graduated from high school is when I got closer to him.
Yeah.
As he got older, he softened.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think also, like, there's something to be said, and I'm just drawing from my own awkward experience, but, like, there's something to be said about not living under the same roof as your parents as far as, like, getting emotionally closer to them.
No, I lived – I when I graduated from high school, I stayed home for, like, 3 years.
Oh, okay.
Just because I wanted to help my parents out, I got sober, and I just yeah. kind of, like, stuck around. I drove my brother to his, like, wrestling meets. And
yeah, there's nothing wrong
with
that.
We had a job,
it's
you know,
three
and
years,
stuff like that,
fun.
Yeah. But – and then when I was 23 – I started doing stand-up.
What were you on the path to do before that? Like, what were you working on?
Well, the motivation to do stand-up was always, it was my only out, really, because when I was that young, I didn't go to college. I was working at, like, coffee shops and, like, restaurants and stuff.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of think, is this going to be my life?
It's just like this... like coffee shop guy.
Yeah. And then luckily the first thing that happened was I worked at a coffee shop called Disc Cafe. And this girl Rebecca worked there, this blonde girl.
Yeah.
And she was dating a guy named Michael Carano. Now Michael Carano works for the Improvs.
He does.
You know Michael?
No.
Yeah.
He's a comedian?
No, he works there. He's like in the corporate end
okay.
of the Improv. But at the time, Michael Carano was managing the Improv that was in San Diego.
I didn't even know there was an Improv.
There was one in Pacific Beach.
Oh, wow.
And he used to manage it with Dave Becky. You know Dave Becky?
I know Dave, yeah.
Yeah, big manager. So
Dave
Becky and Mike Carano used to manage the Pacific Beach Improv in the late 90s.
Oh, that's crazy.
So then in... Not late 90s, late 80s, I mean.
Okay.
Late 80s, I mean.
I was like, wow, dude,
late
80s. Was a comedy club manager?
Yeah, in the 80s. And then what happened was I met Rebecca, and then she would go, hey, let's go to the, my boyfriend runs the Improv, let's go. And I was like 20 years old.
And you're like, okay.
So I'm like, all right. So I would go see Bobcat Goldthwait, Brian Regan, Chris Rock, all these guys, David Spade when
That's
they were
so
younger.
Cool.
And Tom Rhodes I met back then. And then I remember going, oh, my God, that'd be the coolest thing. But
that's so crazy.
But I never thought that I could do it. But Disc Cafe was next door to the Comedy Store in La Jolla.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So one day, I was there for a couple of years, and then one day, this cafe closed. And I go, I don't know what to do. So I went next door to the Comedy Store.
Aww.
And I got a bar back job.
Aww.
And then I started working as a bar back, and then I watched the open mics on Sundays.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
And you're like, I want to do that?
No, I think it was more like, I got to try it.
Was it kind of like, I could do that? Like,
I don't even know if it was that, because I did some improv classes, too. I've always leaned toward, you know, comedy in weird ways. Like, yeah. I wanted to do sketch and stuff, but I dabbled my feet in it by taking classes and stuff. Yeah. But then what happened was I saw open mic. I went up, and they were like, you were terrible. And then I went up the next Sunday, and I just kept going up.
And they're like, this guy just won't quit.
And then I would do other nights.
Yeah.
And then about 9 months in, Paulie saw me at the open mic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
In La Jolla.
Yeah.
So he was just down there.
He was down there one night. And then he told the manager at the time, how long has that guy been doing it? And the manager's like, he's terrible. You know what I mean? And he's like, he's not.
He saw the magic.
He didn't even see magic. There were just, he goes, you guys did. There's something about you did. Right? So he contacted Fred and said, he was living obviously in L.A. And he goes, dude, I'm doing Vegas. Can that little ching chong, like whatever,
he
open for
something.
Me? Yeah. So then next thing I know,
you're opening for Pauly Shore in
Vegas. I'm opening for Pauly in Vegas.
Which is crazy.
What was crazy about it was.
And that's like when Pauly was like.
Huge.
Like.
It was like 5,000 seats.
Like Biodome.
So imagine doing like open mics.
For 6 months.
For 9 months in front of like 10 people. And then all of a sudden.
And the next thing you do is a 5,000 seat theater.
Yeah.
Did
but
you
it, was
your pants?
It was, he goes, just do five. And I go, all right. And then Wild Willie Parsons featured.
Wild Willie Parsons.
You know him?
I just know his name
on the wall. Yeah, Wild Willie Parsons.
Haven't seen him.
Featured. And then, but Mitzi was there.
So she saw you.
Well, this is what happened. So then he goes, my mom's here. And I mean, as a kid, I have no money. This is my first thing I've ever done that was relative. I mean, it's life changing.
Oh no, of course. Like that's so
because
unlike
you don't know,
most
you,
trajectories of comedy.
Yeah,
you're
don't
like,
know.
I guess this is how it happened.
Yeah, and so I went up, and I remember after the show, I was in the back while Pauly was on, and then I just feel a tug on my shirt.
Uh oh.
And to my right was Mitzi.
Hey.
And she goes, hey, you're a paid regular.
Oh my God.
That's how I got passed.
Was just Mitzi going, you're a paid regular.
Yeah.
I had to showcase.
I know. And then 2 weeks after that, I met the other guy that changed my life.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. And Carlos Mencia.
Oh, wow.
So after the Pauly thing, I got every Saturday at the La Jolla Comedy Store, I was living down there.
Yeah.
I got to host one of the
shows. That's great. Was it
a
more
rule
money
back
then?
No money. But no. The rule back then is if you work the door at the Comedy Store, you get to MC.
That's great.
Which is a great and one of the shows. So you had two doormen. You could either switch out. So the nights that I would do a Saturday night, it was me and this older guy named Stan Simmons.
Oh.
And Carlos Mencia headlined one weekend.
Wow.
And his manager was there, Worthy Patterson.
Oh, wow.
This is 2 weeks after the fucking Pauly thing.
Jesus.
And then Carlos goes, hey, bro, you want to do the road? So I was like, what the fuck?
Fuck yeah. You're like, what's happening?
But then I stayed in San Diego for a couple more years. And then when I moved to L.A., it was three very terrible years.
Oh, because you got that nice little like taste. And you think, I'm going to L.A.
Yeah. I mean, I literally showed up. I mean, you know, she said I was a paid regular, right?
Yeah.
But as soon as I made it to L.A., it was known to me that I was a doorman.
You were a doorman.
And I wasn't going to get spots.
Oh, that sucks.
And so what you would do back then is work the door, and then you would get fallout spots. So if you're a paid regular and you work the door, anyone that didn't show up for the regular lineup, you got to go up.
You were like first dibs.
So you would wish that, like, you know, Dice would get in a car accident.
You'd just be wishing.
Yeah, I hope Arsenio Hall dies. You know.
I hope something terrible happens so I can go up.
Yeah, and then I would do open mics around town, and then one night. Oh, this is what happened. So then is this boring?
No, this is very fascinating. That's why I'm quiet, is because I'm actually listening.
Don't be bored.
I'm not bored. This is amazing.
But then this is what happened.
There was a fallout.
No. What happened?
Jade couldn't come.
No, Jade wasn't even alive then. When I was in San Diego, I did Make Me Laugh.
Oh my God, I grew up on that show. Okay. Not to like.
So that's how I got my new manager, Abby. So then when I was a doorman at the Comedy Store in L.A., Abby would send people out to see me.
Oh, that's great.
That didn't even tell me.
That's the best case scenario, though. I would rather not know someone's there.
Me too.
I've always had my best interactions when someone's like, hey, they're in the audience and I didn't
know. Yeah, I hate it. She knows me. She knows that
I'm an idiot if I know you're there.
If there's a showcase, that I'm going to eat it.
Yeah, no, I'm like, oh, good to be here.
Yeah, yeah, those are the worst. So I guess she had, like, the Tonight Show come see me a couple times when I didn't know, and then...
That's great.
I was working the door, and then they came up to me, Bob and Ross, and they go, we want you to do the Tonight Show. And I go, I was working the door.
You're like, I'm a door guy.
And then I auditioned for Mad. I hadn't done the Tonight Show yet. Then I auditioned them for Mad. They gave me the confidence, and my manager, Abby, managed one of the producers of Mad.
Oh, wow.
So I got in, I got the show, and then I got the Tonight Show, and then I got... Some other things.
And
And then that's when it happened. Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And people are like, this Asian guy. Just kidding. I was just trying to bring it back. Are you a hero in Korea?
No one knows me in Korea.
No. When's the last time
Why
you
would
went?
You say something like that? That's
the
fucking
show.
Crazy.
The show is called Ignorance is Blessed.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
me being an idiot.
Oh, really? No, I mean, I did. There was a musical group, a female pop group. Called The Wonder Girls. And they flew me out there and to be in their music video.
Yeah, didn't they put you in, they like...
Yeah, and so they set me up right, but by me going to Korea, you realize that nobody knew who the fuck I am.
Yeah, like, you're not a K-pop star, we don't...
No, even like anywhere, like even the people behind the scenes, they're like, who the fuck is this American here, you know?
That's interesting, because it's like, well, then how did they... Well, that's interesting
because
the
girls
still
like me.
They like you, okay.
Because a lot of those pop groups, K-pop groups, they're not Korean. They're Korean people that lived in Canada.
Oh, they're like...
Right, they're from all over the world.
Like outsourced Koreans.
Right, outsourced Koreans.
Fake
so
Koreans.
Some of them liked me, and then they were like, yeah,
here.
So... But, you know...
But you go... Have you ever performed over there?
No.
No.
I can't perform really anywhere because I'm so dirty.
Really? I performed in Korea.
You did?
Yeah.
How?
I don't know.
You were out there with your mom?
Yeah, I went and visited her, and then I set up a show there with some like local stand-up group. I did like a small bar type of...
Was it fun?
It was cool. It's like they have like a local scene, and they did like just like 5,000 won at the upstairs of this like restaurant, but like it packed out. It was a great crowd. I mean, it's all expats. It wasn't like Korean people. I can't... imagine how awful I would have felt after a set of people who don't speak English staring at me. I performed once in Switzerland, and it was like a nightmare. They all like stared at me like I was a crazy person.
Oh, really?
That's actually like what inspired me to get this tattoo is like I performed in Switzerland twice, and like the first time I was like, it's Europe. I'm going to do all my dirty stuff. They're going to love it. They talk about sex over there. The Swiss people were sitting in the front right in front of me, and they just stared at me. But then there were a group of African comedians who were also there for this festival, and they were dying.
Because
they were like, women don't talk about stuff like that in our country.
Yeah.
So I ended up, I'm actually going to a South African festival this year because of that.
Oh, cool. I did that South African festival.
Johannesburg?
Yeah.
Last year?
No, I did it like 5 years ago.
How was it?
Amazing.
I mean, it's just, I'm the kind of person, it's like, I'm getting enough money. You're paying me anything?
Yeah.
Get to, like, experience
it was a great
a
experience. I did it with Ian Bagg, Orny Adams, Pablo Francisco, Trevor Noah.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was great. But, I mean, I did, Ahmed Ahmed flew me to the Middle East.
How was that?
With Eric Griffin and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Oh, man.
And as soon as I landed, I realized I have to open.
You're like, oh,
because
God.
They gave me a list of things I can't talk about. And so I had two jokes left.
Oh, fuck.
It was crazy.
I don't think I could even perform over there.
Yeah, you can't.
Probably not
it's
women,
crazy.
Right? Oh, that's nuts.
Yeah.
Was it? That's. It's interesting because it kind of forces you to learn, like, what you have that's universal. I didn't know how much of the stuff I had at that time was purely shock value. Like, I was like, yeah, it's, like, shocking, but it's also, like, an actual joke. And I was like, oh, no, they're just laughing because I say asshole. Like, I was
I
thought it was poignant.
Yeah. I've never been one to edit my shit.
No, I mean, I spent a full year, and granted, I haven't been doing it that long, but there was like a full year, probably 2 years in, where I was like, I'm going to purposely not write dirty just because I know I have the capability and I want to have that material. And for a while, I was like censoring myself on stage. And like even the first time I showcased at the Comedy Store, I was like, well, let me do like a, for whatever reason, I thought I'll try to do like a TV type of
set. Yeah.
And then I think I kind of did the same thing the second time. And then this last time I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to be me. And it's like, I can work clean, but like who I am is like dirty and fucking weird. So I just
dress
leaned into it.
And I do exactly who I am. If I dress like the part, I never get it.
You know what? Yesterday on stage, I wore a dress. Sometimes I like to dress up.
Yeah,
but
you
I feel
weird
like
last night.
It makes me weird on stage.
Why did you do that?
I don't know. Because I
should have worn this.
Because I just want to fucking... Sometimes you want to dress up, you know, and then you realize this isn't working.
Yeah.
I don't have a look either, and I think I should commit
you
to
do.
Something. What is this? It's
crazy
just,
white lady.
I'm the crazy white lady. Man, I don't know if I have any more Asian questions.
You don't, because you don't have your list anymore. And
tiny
we did an
penis.
Hour. We
you
did
have a tiny penis.
Why?
You can't drive. Which
I
of those
drive
are true?
Great.
So you avoided the tiny penis question.
No, my penis is relative to my size.
Tiny.
No, I'm a small guy, so I have a penis that's relative to my fucking size.
I'm not judging you. Why are
I'm
you getting angry about it?
I'm just saying that
I
like,
don't
when
care.
People used to say that when you're growing up.
You're like, that's ridiculous.
You're like, yeah, but Yao Ming doesn't have a small penis.
Oh, he's probably got like an arm. But
yeah.
What if he does? What if like you saw Yao Ming naked and he has your penis?
I would probably kill him.
Like, don't
like,
you
yeah,
ever
no
show
way.
Anyone?
No, but it's proportioned to your size and like. You know, one day I go to the spa in
Korean
Koreatown.
Spas?
Yeah, in Koreatown.
Oh, I love Korean spas.
And it's one that's not advertised. It's like in a back alley, and you have to know it's there. There's no sign.
I want to know: is it just men?
All men.
They have a women's section.
And there's
or
a
no?
guy. No women's section. And there's a guy that owns the spa.
Yeah.
This old Korean dude.
Yeah.
And I've been going there for 20 years. Paulie goes there sometimes. People
Paulie?
Go there. Yeah, yeah.
Is it called Gamsamnidat?
No, it's called Hyundai Spa.
Wait, the maker of the car?
Yeah, it's on 6th Street in Ardmore.
I'll be there.
And the guy that owns it, he's always in the steam room. He has a 9-inch penis.
Like just a giant monster.
Non-hard. He just stands there and
his
long,
asserts his dominance.
Thick Korean dick.
He just like stares.
Yeah, and I as soon as I saw him the first time 20 years ago, I go, yep, that's not a, there's no way.
You're like, that's the owner.
That's the owner, and also that's not a real thing.
You think it's an implant?
No, his dick is a real thing, but the stereotype is false.
Oh, that the stereotype.
Yeah,
I was like,
wait,
what? Do you think he even owns it, or like whoever owns it just gave it to him when he came with his dick out? They're like, that's your place now.
That'd be funny.
They're just like,
oh, you, yeah.
He'll
yeah, you're 9 more inches than mine. You can go to heaven.
I quit.
Well, that's an hour.
That's a good. I think that we're good. We covered everything.
Yeah.
I snuck in the driving and penis stuff at the end.
Yeah.
We learned that you were crazy and I have a low self-esteem.
Yeah.
Anything you want to plug?
No.
No? All right. Well, you guys.
I want to plug Tiger Belly.
Who's he?
I have a podcast called Tiger Belly.
It's great. You guys should listen. It's amazing.
You're going to cut that part out.
No, I'm not. Why would
if
I
you,
cut that out?
If you do, you'll have another thing coming.
Yeah, you have that big 9-inch Korean man's ding dong
no,
when I show up
I'll
at 6th and
Ardmore. Fucking ankles.
What if next time you show up there?
Look at the way your foot curls like that. That's weird.
I have arthritis. My body's going to, I'm going to crunch down. I'm going to become
a human
pretzel.
Is that really what happens?
It's just bent. Is it really fucked up?
I don't even know. The way you curled it looked so weird.
Oh, yeah.
You have arthritis?
You crunch. I'm going to become like a pretzel that sits in a wheelchair. My boyfriend said he'll carry me on stage in one of those baby Bjorns.
How old is that going to happen?
There's no way to tell. It could not happen for a long time, but it could suddenly rapidly start killing me.
You need to take medication.
Yeah, well, I need more money. I need to act.
But that's why I'm saying it's like you need money to survive, baby.
Okay, so what do I do?
You got to have a dream.
I have a dream.
I don't think you do.
I do. I want to host a late night talk show.
Then that's it. Visualize that.
Okay, Bobby Lee has abandoned me just like my father. And that's the end of our podcast, you guys.
I love you, and I'll see you next time. Hear you. Bye.